Our lesson this morning is a biblical study of salvation in the dispensations. Charles Caldwell Ryrie's book, Dispensationalism Today, reports that without doubt the most frequently heard objection against dispensationalism is that it's supposed to teach several ways of salvation. Salvation by works in some dispensations and salvation by grace in others. That's a serious charge, because if salvation were ever by works, man could boast before God. And that's opposite what Romans 3:27 says. Romans 3:27 says that we are justified by grace through faith, that there's no boasting on man's part. So we need a clarifying biblical study of the doctrine of salvation in the various dispensations, and we're going to do that this morning. Father, we thank you for the opportunity of being able to gather, discuss the Word of God, and to understand it, how to use it, how to interpret it. We ask for wisdom as we get into this important topic on dispensationalism, that we would understand what salvation is, how it occurs throughout the various ages of history. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. First, the basis of salvation in every age is the death of Jesus Christ. Paul noted that Christ's death propitiated the wrath of God against all sins so that he could declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. In Romans chapter 3, verse 25, he brings this out. It's a very provocative statement, but it tells us an important truth. Verse 25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the taking away or the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. When Abraham, when David, when these saints of old, when they had their issues, their sins taken care of, the sins were not actually removed. You can't have them removed unless there is an actual payment for sin. Well, the payment for sin is yet to come. So, in effect, throughout the Old Testament, God was putting everything on the charge card. He was charging it. Okay? Jesus Christ comes along at the cross, and he pays off the balance. But then he pays off more than the balance. He puts a balance on a debit card. All right? So from then on, future saints, it's debited. Now, the amount of the that's put on the debit card, of course, is infinite. So it can go on forever. But keep in mind, in the Old Testament, everything's put on a charge card. At the cross of Christ, from then on, everything's put on a debit card. Okay? And that's what we're dealing with at this particular point. So this means that from Adam's fall in sin to Christ's death, God in forbearance dealt in grace with those who believed in him, put it on the charge card, without having his wrath actually satiated or satisfied against their sin. But that in Christ, all those sins of the past were placed upon Jesus on the cross so that God's wrath can be righteously propitiated. To propitiate means to satisfy the wrath of the righteous demands. God was always angry at sin. But he couldn't express, or he chose in grace not to express his wrath against the sin of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the saints in the past, because he was looking forward to the cross of Christ. This is why Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. And of course, it wasn't possible, because you have saints that are now in heaven who God has dealt righteously with and are in heaven because God's looking forward to the fact that Christ is going to be paying for their sins. So he was locked in. History had locked him in. He had no choice. He had to go to the cross. Christ also paid for the sins that occur after his death. This is the debit card. Revelation 7:14 shows that men in the great tribulation era will have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That's the blood of Christ. That's the way you and I are operating. We actually operate on a debit card today. Christ died in the past, but what happens is the value of that is debited, you know, from Christ, although it's in an infinite amount, in our behalf because we're after the cross. So Christ's death is the basis of salvation in every dispensation, whether it's past, whether it's present, or whether it's future. Okay, so we're not saying that there are different payments for the salvation. The basis of salvation in every death era is the death of Christ. Now, in God's eyes, this is very simple. You and I are limited to time. We can't go back in past time to the life of Christ. We're here. We can't look ahead. We can't even look ahead to 3 o'clock this afternoon. We have to wait until we get there. But with God, God created time. Time is a created entity. So in a real sense, you can always say God is there. Right now, God is at the cross. In Abraham's day, he was at the cross. He could see it. In the future great tribulation period, God is at the cross. 6 trillion years from now, God is at the cross. Everything is laid upon the cross. He's not limited to time. He sees the cross at all times. So this is why the death of Christ satiates the wrath of God. Second, the requirement for salvation in every age is faith. It's not faith in some and works in others. It's always faith, and let's prove it. In Romans chapter 4, 1 to 5 and 9 to 12, it documents from Genesis 15, 5 to 6, and Genesis 17, 1 to 7, how Abraham was justified by faith apart from works. For he was justified by faith in Genesis 15 before he was circumcised in Genesis 17. This is an incredibly important passage. Abraham was justified as a Gentile, as an uncircumcised Gentile. He was justified by faith. God had told him to go out. We're going to look at this in a little bit. And look at the stars. Could he count the stars with his naked eye? You can't even count the stars with your own naked eye. You can't keep track of them. So it, he says, so shall your seed be. And Abraham believed God, and it said God reckoned to him for righteousness. That's Genesis 15. But Abraham was not circumcised until Genesis 17. And many Jews look towards circumcision as the means by which you qualify to go to heaven, because that makes you a Jew. Well, Abraham was justified as a Gentile. He was a pagan. And God justified him by faith. And that sets a tremendous sentence for you and precedence for you and me. We are not Jewish, most of us. But we're justified like Abraham, by faith. So that's a wonderful truth. Okay, Romans chapter 4, verses 6 to 8 documents from David's words that he quotes from Psalm 32, 1 and 2, how people like David, who were in the dispensation of the Mosaic law, were similarly justified by faith apart from works and God's grace. See, Abraham was before the law. He was 400 years before the law. David was under the law. But David says that he was justified by faith under the law. So people before the law, people under the law, are justified by faith. In fact, this is why Paul goes through great lengths in Romans chapter 12 to point out how justification by faith is always the requirement of salvation. In addition, Paul wrote that God intentionally made his promise to Abraham of blessing the world through Abraham's seed, that's through Christ, 430 years before the Mosaic law came, that the Gentiles might by grace through faith in Christ receive God's gift of the Holy Spirit. I know that it through the generation of the apostles, it through the Jews there in that generation for a loop to find out that the Holy Spirit would actually come upon Gentiles. But if they paid close attention to their history, that shouldn't have been a problem. God justified Abraham when he was before he was circumcised as a pagan Gentile, all right? So the basis of Gentiles getting the Holy Spirit be the same as the basis of Abraham himself getting saved by faith. So that's a wonderful truth. Now, after predicting the current church era in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, and the still future great tribulation in Revelation chapters 4 through 19, and the millennial kingdom in Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 to 7. Jesus offered mortals on earth in Revelation 21, 6 to 8, that I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely, revealing that up to the last era of human history, that includes the millennial kingdom, men on earth will be saved by grace through faith apart from works. Even if someone is born in the millennial kingdom, this is after Christ is on the earth, to be saved, he needs to believe in Jesus Christ. It's by faith. So, the faith in God is the requirement for salvation in every dispensation, whether it's past, whether it's present, and future. However, this is where we differ from covenant theology and so forth. The content of faith changes in the various dispensations due to God's progressive revelation. That is due to God's ever-growing revelation of his truth to man in history. When we say the content of faith, we say the actual content that God expects a person to believe for salvation. That will change because of progressive revelation. To give you an illustration of progressive revelation, let me do it this way. When your child is 2 years of age, do you let the child go into the china closet and take the dishes out and put them on the table? Obviously, no, because the child can inadvertently break them. When the child is 17, do you let them? Yes, often you let them go into the china closet if they learn to be careful and so forth. They take the china out and they set the table with the china and so forth. All right, that is if they're careful and so forth. Why? Because between the age of 2 or 3 and the age of 17, there has been some growth. And the child has gotten to the point where they understand the importance of care and taking care of things. And so what you don't allow the child to do with the china at age 2 or 3, you certainly allow him to do at age 17. The same is true with God's revelation to us. Through time, man, when God reached out to man was in deep paganism. So God very carefully, very gradually had to give man more and more insight about himself. That obviously will affect the content of what is believed in the gospel. For example, D1, Genesis 15, 5-6 reveals that Abraham was justified upon believing God's promise that his descendants would be so numerous that he would not be able to count them like he could not count the stars of the sky. So Abraham believed God and counted him for righteousness. You notice Abraham didn't believe that Jesus died on the cross for his sins, was buried, rose again. He didn't know about Jesus. He didn't know his name. He didn't know the significance of the substitutionary death of Christ and so forth. That was all in the future. It wasn't even revealed. It wasn't even, you know, as predicted. It might have been implied back in Genesis 3:15 that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent, and the serpent would bruise the heel of the seed of the woman, but it wasn't that clear for him. However, in the church era, we are told to believe that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried and rose from the dead and was seen alive by witnesses, and that faith in him leads to salvation. That's putting 1 Corinthians 15, 1-11 together with John 3:16. So the content of salvation, the content of the gospel has changed. Christ has come and so forth. God expects us to believe in Christ. However, in the future great tribulation, the content of the salvation gospel will be that one must believe that the true Messiah is not the then reigning Antichrist, whose number as a man is 666, but the true Christ who is yet to come to the earth and establish his kingdom on the earth. That's taught to us in Revelation 14, 6, and 7. So in the Great Tribulation period, when the Antichrist is presenting himself as the Messiah of the world, but he has this number 666 attached to him, that's supposed to be a warning sign to believers who've been reading their Bibles. And they're going to say, wait a minute, this is a false Christ. This is the Antichrist. The true Christ is yet to come. He's going to come and he's going to destroy this Antichrist. And the way they're going to demonstrate their faith is how they treat the Jew. If they treat the Jew kindly and protect him and so forth, as many people did during World War II, during the Holocaust and so forth, that's going to be an evidence of their true faith in the coming Messiah. On the other hand, if they don't believe in Christ, they're going to want to annihilate the Jew just like the Antichrist does. Okay? So that's going to be the evidence of their salvation, and this goes along with Revelation 13, 11 to 18. Thus, the content of what is to be believed. I'll wait until Pete answers that. That's all right. The content of what is to be believed differs in various dispensations due to progressive revelation. So in historic dispensationalism, which we are a part, and historic dispensationalism has been taught here at Nepoch Church now for over 50 years, going back to when Pat Kate first came and then Bill Allen and myself. Salvation is always by grace, through faith in God, based on the cross of Christ. But the content of what is to be believed for salvation differs among the various dispensations. Why? Due to God's ever-growing revelation of his truth to man down through history, what theologians call progressive revelation. When we use the term progressive revelation, we're not talking about Marxism, right? The word progressive revelation was around many, many years before. It's talking about God's progress of developing his revelation. Paul in Ephesians chapter 3 says, the idea that Gentiles would be fellow heirs with Jews was not known in the former ages, but it is now revealed in the dispensation of the church. In fact, Paul says, I've been made a minister of that revelation. It's very clear. God had not revealed that Gentiles would be co-heirs with Jews, but then he did. So may we adhere to the biblical truth on the doctrine of salvation in the various dispensations. Okay, this is a very important subject because this is the key criticism of the stance that we have, that the criticism is that we teach different gospels, we teach different ways of salvation. That's not so. The content of the gospel will change, obviously, in time because of God's revelation, but salvation is always based on the death of Christ. It always requires faith and faith alone. And then the object of one's faith is always God. Jesus was not revealed as the Son of God until he came to the earth, or shortly before his birth. That is when the angel Gabriel came to him and said that you're going to produce the Son of God, or he's going to be called the Son of God. That's the object of our faith. The requirement of faith and the basis of faith remains stable. But the content of what is believed changes of necessity because of progressive revelation. Okay, we'll open up for questions that you have. It could be on the subject here, or it could be on something else, anything else that comes up. We'll seek to answer it through the Word of God.